League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Paul Gallant and Josh Beard in for Blank and Branham, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. I mean, I'm offended by the rundown our producer, Brendan Riley,
has put together. I think you did a great job. What are you talking about?
Listen, I get it. You know,
like you're so triggered right now.
You've been a producer in the past, so you're standing with your guy, right?
No, I think he's put together an amazing rundown. I think he's done a great job.
I'll admit, I do like the fact that I just got to show up and be like a giant diva and just say, oh, this is what I'm going to talk about today.
This is my show now.
There are old coworkers that I had back in another city that didn't do that, and it drove me crazy. Like, they just expected the producer to lay out the whole show for them, and I was like, wait, you provide no content? Are you kidding me? Like, what is wrong with you? And I remember bringing this up during certain exit interviews. Anyway, in honor of the Obi-Wan series release, writes our producer Brendan Riley into the show rundown, what is the most overhyped thing in pop culture? So I'm guessing, Brendan Riley, you're not a Star Wars fan.
I mean, Star Wars is fine.
Wait, hold on. Wait. I just offended you, and I didn't even think about this. You're not saying that Obi-Wan is overhyped. You're saying that Star Wars is overhyped?
I'm guessing that's the
whole
only
franchise.
Way you could come to
oh,
the whole
my God.
Franchise.
I have to fight Brendan later, which is weird because people say we look alike, so it's going to be like
and
fighting
sound
my
alike
clone.
Too.
Yeah.
Let's figure this out. So, Brendan, I'm guessing have you watched the movies?
I've watched most of the like non-spinoffs, if that tracks.
You've watched most of?
That's very...
Well, I watched all of the non-spinoffs.
So, like, the original trilogy?
The original, the
prequel trilogy?
Trilogy and all the ones that started coming out in the last, like, 5-10 years.
Okay, so you've watched the movies.
Have you ever watched it in the machete order? Which is...
The who?
The machete order. This is the machete method of watching the Star Wars films. You watch the first two movies, Episode 4 and Episode 5. After Empire Strikes Back, you go to the prequels, and you cut out the first one entirely. You watch Episode 2 and 3 to see the story of Darth Vader, and then you go back and watch Return of the Jedi. It's the best way to watch these Star Wars movies.
By explaining how you should watch it in not the correct order, you're kind of explaining how some people might find it to be overrated. I am not saying that. I am not saying that. However, okay, I was disappointed in the last trilogy. I thought The Force Awakens was good.
Yes.
But it was a ripoff of A New Hope. Whatever. I enjoyed the movie.
Fine. Give me all my member berries.
The second one was weird
it
and
sucked.
All over the place.
You could just say sucked. It's fine.
We watched it together, didn't we?
Yeah, we did. No, we didn't watch we watched The Force Awakens together, I think.
Was it The Force Awakens?
I don't think it was The Last Jedi.
You're right. It was The Force Awakens.
The Last Jedi, I was very disappointed.
Because, yes, The Last Jedi. Well,
we're going to subvert expectations.
Yeah, and then the final one sucked. I liked
the final
one. I hated
it. Rise of Skywalker?
I hated Rise of Skywalker. I thought it was garbage. Mm-hmm. And you know, the prequels, they don't hold up very well. You can make a strong argument that the Star Wars franchise as a whole was overrated.
I'll fight both of you right now.
You can make it. I wouldn't make the argument. I'll admit, I think I've always thought that Boba Fett is like a loser who got eaten by a giant butt in the sand. And, I mean, they made a TV series out of him.
It's a good show. A lot of people didn't. I really like the Book of Boba
Fett. He is so uninteresting, and it was a great job that they brought in Mando at the end of it.
Yeah, that's why I liked it.
He's so uninteresting.
That's why I liked it. It's just Mandalorian Season 3.
Yes.
Like, that's the best part about it.
Yeah, essentially. So I get that argument. I get that argument.
Don't like it,
well,
I guess.
I appreciate the fact that they've, you know, blown up the world. I think it's one of the cooler things going on in movie and TV right now. I just think, like, where Star Wars started, like, I don't even know why I watched all the movies, to be honest with you. I watched them because my dad made me. They're whatever.
It's a good
they're
dad.
All okay.
That's a great dad. That's a good dad move.
I watched them a million times when I was a kid, and I bought all the toys. I had one of those, like, little mini X-Wings, and it had this little holder that you could put it on.
Oh, yeah.
Shoot torpedoes out.
Yeah,
I had
the X-Wing and the TIE Fighter. Yeah.
I had when Lego started making Star Wars toys, which was sadly far too late, but I would buy some of them. Before that, any Legos I had, I would try to turn it into Star Wars spaceships and stuff. Like, I really loved that franchise growing up as a kid, and a lot of the love I still have for it has to do with that. And, you know, it's kind of like meeting your inner kid.
Right.
And I'm excited about this because I'll say about the Obi-Wan show, which I have yet to watch. I know the episodes came out right now. In Ewan McGregor, I mean, this is as good of an actor that has been in the Star Wars franchise. I felt like he did a hell of a job as Obi-Wan Kenobi in the prequels, despite the awful scripts
one of the from few George bright Lucas spots. In the prequels. One of the few bright spots of the prequels movies.
So overrated pop culture things is what we're talking about. I'm not making the argument. I love Star Wars. I love it, but I understand why someone would make the argument that Star Wars is overrated. What else has been overrated in the world of pop culture? Are there any that come to mind for you, Josh?
Yeah, Spear? Game of Thrones. I think because of the
Because of the last season.
I think the last three seasons, very overrated.
Season six was good.
Really just 7 and 8 then.
Season six is finale. It was the best finale.
Is that the blowing up of the
Yes.
There's no spoilers. If you haven't watched Game of Thrones Cersei killed a lot of people. Like, come on. Seven and eight ruined the entire franchise for me. I think the best moments of that show are perfectly hyped. The best moments of that show are incredible, but as a whole, they ruined it so much for me. I can never recommend Game of Thrones to anybody ever again. And there are still people to me that are like, "Oh, Game of Thrones is one of the best shows I've ever watched." Nope, they ruined it in the final two seasons. Garbage. They turned the entire series into garbage. Nothing else mattered the entire time. None of it mattered. Cersei's moves didn't matter. Tyrion's moves didn't matter. Daenerys' moves didn't matter. Jon's moves didn't matter. And then you have plot armor came in too.
Yeah,
it's awful.
Not enough people died at the end. That was my big disappointment at the end of the show.
Agreed. And that George R. R. Martin never would have done any of those decisions if he had the books finished, which, thanks a lot, George. If he had those books finished, it wouldn't have ended that way. More people would have died. Like Bridget would have died. Absolutely. Like, there's so many different things that should have happened. I think it's overhyped.
Overhyped things in pop culture. Most things with a laugh track, I can't tolerate them. The Big Bang Theory is an insult. They feel
love the Big Bang Theory, though. I'm sorry.
My mom loves the Big Bang Theory.
It is bad. It's not good, but I just love it. I bet
you love Young Sheldon, too.
I hate Young Sheldon, actually.
You hate children?
Yes. Yeah. Well, come on.
Just kidding. I hate it too.
You can't bait me.
I was trying to there.
How dare you?
But one in particular, Friends. Can't do Friends.
Oh, really?
Can't do Friends. No.
I'm not as big of a Friends fan.
Rachel, what's going on? Ooh. It's me, Ross.
Okay, you want me to... I'm going to get canceled right now. Everybody who's listening to this, and whether you're listening or watching on Twitch, you're going to cancel me right now. I think Seinfeld is overhyped. I think Seinfeld is just okay. Yeah.
Oh my God! Look, we're walking down the street.
I think it's overhyped. It's mediocre.
Like Chewbacca.
Yeah.
I was back home just last weekend, and my dad had it on while we were just like hanging out. And after one episode, I was like, "This wouldn't exist today. People would not, because the jokes are offensive, because the jokes are boring."
Yeah, I think there are some moments where you're like, "Okay, that's pretty funny."
Lay the groundwork.
Nothing about Seinfeld makes me laugh the way The Office makes me laugh.
Yeah, The Office holds up
like
pretty well.
Especially
now that some of the things that are on that show can't be on the air anymore. Right, yeah.
Steve Carell's come out many times to be like, "Yeah, we would not be able to make The Office today in any way." Another show, I think this is an underrated show. I'm going to go the opposite direction. New Girl is one of, like, if we're talking, that's not a laugh track show, but if we're talking like sitcoms, I think New Girl is incredible.
Okay. I've seen a couple episodes of it.
Nick Miller is the best sitcom character of all time. He's my spirit animal.
I would watch more of it, but I don't know. It's never.
People can't get past Zooey Deschanel. Once you realize that New Girl isn't about her character, it's actually about Nick Miller, that's whenever you can get more on board with the show. He's actually the main character.
Here's a question I have, because this show also just came out today.
Uh-huh.
Is Stranger Things overrated?
No. I think it's very, very good. I love the writing.
Season one. I liked the last two seasons, but there's a part of me that wonders just how far you can go when it's a show that's entirely based off of nostalgia to sci-fi and the 1980s.
I think for me it's not overrated. Especially knowing where they're leading with the villain in season four. I think the big thing, the problem is I'm a D&D guy. Like, I like Dungeons & Dragons, and everything that they've done with this show is very heavily based in Dungeons & Dragons. So what they've led into is, like, there's this big, in Dungeons & Dragons, there's this huge warlock boss called Vecna, which is essentially going to be the villain of season four. Like, he's the big bad who's been trying to take over and come from. So I love the nostalgia. I think the plots have been great. I think the writing's been great. The characters have been very well done.
I like a little more depth with my villains, and
There's a lot of depth. I have a feeling that they're going to do a good job of giving great depth into Vecna this season.
I hope so, because, you know, one of my big issues in most superhero movies is the fact that, like, you'll just, hey, there's a monster. Wow, I'm scared. They're going to kill him. Oh, they killed him. Wow, a superhero movie.
Yeah, it's not going to – I have a feeling they'll go deeper than that, because Vecna is a really, really big – character in the D&D universe. He's a supernatural necromancer serial killer guy. So hopefully they go deeper.
You got thoughts on this? Send them in. Most overrated things in pop culture. Oh, that was a nice little topic there, Brendan Riley, even though, you know, at the beginning,
a little rough with Star Wars.
Josh Beard not feeling the anti-Star Wars vibes.
I defended you, too.
I get them, though. I do get them. I do think, too, it's a very toxic fan base, Star Wars
fans.
That's
true, though.
Nothing is ever going to be good enough for you. Episode 3 is pretty good. I got to say. Like, Revenge of the Sith, I enjoyed it. Anyway, that's neither here nor there. He's Josh Beard. I'm Paul Gallant. It's the Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5, 92.5. You got Brendan Riley behind the glass. If you got something in pop culture you find overrated, send it in. If you say Breaking Bad or Better Call Saul, I will break your neck. Just kidding. That's illegal, but I would yell at you. Strong words. Just saying. There's been a big comparison made for one Justin Verlander a lot this year on the Killer Bees. And I've got to say, I think I'm on the same page as this comparison. We'll talk about it next.
Maestro Dobel, anywhere liquor is sold, Maestro Dobel.
Proximo Spirits, Jersey City, New Jersey. Please drink responsibly.
Your team's our priority. Join the conversation with the Killer Bees. Now coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Suarez with a big blast out to left field, and Eugenio Suarez bangs one way up top. It hasn't come back down. And the Mariners finally get a run in Houston, and they get their first extra base hit of the series.
You know, every now and then, your old lover does something, and you're like, whoa.
It was forever ago.
Got a home run off of Justin Verlander? Baby. I mean, what's up? You up tonight?
That's awful. It's not like that was even recent.
The last run he gave up.
That's the last run that Justin Verlander gave up.
Do you know how long ago that was?
No, I forgot, man.
Very exactly. I did too.
Time
that's
has
the
gone
whole point.
By very, very quickly, feels.
Yeah, every once in a while you remember what she did for you, but it's just not the same when she's not doing it right now. You know what I mean?
That is very true. Anyway, just trying to move on. I'm thinking about real life exes.
Oh, hey. God. Oh, we're about to lose Paul.
I'm still thinking about you, babe. Just kidding.
Sad Paul. Where's the violin?
Yeah, that's the time to play it. Justin Verlander has been awesome this year. I mean, did anyone see him being this damn good after Tommy John surgery? I want to say I did. I mean, I have, like the actual Killer Bees before, thought about him the same way that they think about Tom Brady. I mean, it wasn't that long ago. It was a couple of months ago, maybe it was a couple of years ago, where I remember vividly Verlander saying, like, I want to be like Tom Brady. I want to be dominating like this into my 40s. Brady's 44. Verlander's 39. If he looks like this coming off of Tommy John's surgery, I'm very curious as to how much longer he can play, can pitch at this level. Some of these guys, just for whatever reason, they can keep it going. I would say, you know, back in the day, too, we obviously saw him here firsthand. Roger Clemens pitched in, like, what, 4 decades?
Yeah. Nolan Ryan, another guy who pitched for a really, really long time.
How did Nolan Ryan do it?
I don't know. Especially with the velocity that he threw with.
I guess it was for Roger Clemens, it was 3 decades. He stopped pitching in 2007.
Still impressive.
I mean, my God. And look, if it's performance enhanced, whatever. I don't care. The guy was a hell of a player. Anyway. when we look at this, what Verlander's doing, the anchor of a rotation that's been really impressive thus far this season.
Yeah.
Brendan Riley behind the glass has given us a would you rather. If you had to pick one, number one, Verlander sustains his dominance another 5 years. Or number two, this is the final season of Justin Verlander's dominance. What are you picking?
You not have what to would pick you one. Rather. It's what's more likely.
What's it's more what's likely. More likely. Yeah, yeah.
I'm stupid. See, this is what happens when you read it like you're Ron Burgundy. I'm just reading what I'm is Ron in front Burgundy. Of me. I'm Ron Burgundy.
Nah, man. I'm
if you put Julio Jones in there, I might have said Julio Holmes.
I'm sad that you figured it out and that Brendan helped you out because I was about to make fun of you relentlessly Thank for you. The next 5 minutes.
I was
would you rather have Paul out. Try to explain what a question is or Justin Verlander's dominance?
Repeat?
To this question, though, what I think is more likely, is he going to sustain it for 5 more years or is this the final season? What I want and what I think are going to happen are two completely different things. I've known that throughout my historical experience of my life. What I want is always different than what's actually going to happen. I think it's more likely that this is the final season of his dominance. I mean, the level that he's dominating at is just wild. There's that I can't even remember
the Cy Young.
There was some poo-poo Joe Schmo on Twitter that made his like top 20 list of best pitchers in Major League Baseball, and Justin Verlander was an honorable mention at the end of it. He wasn't even in the guy's top 20. At the time, Justin Verlander's ERA had just dropped even lower, and he's number one or number two in almost every single category as a starting pitcher, and the guy didn't even have him in his top 20. Like he was leading in WHIP, he's leading in ERA, the only thing he's not doing and why people and the only thing anyone can look at and be like, oh, Justin Verlander's not, like is he's not striking people out the way he has before. His strikeouts are a little bit lower, but I don't care.
Look at his WHIP though.
Exactly.
Look at his ERA.
Exactly. The WHIP is it's
number one in baseball in both.
When I look at pitchers, I look at the WHIP before anything, and he's number one in WHIP. Then you look at the ERA. Then you look at some of the other stuff. I don't even look at strikeouts. It's probably like the third, fourth, fifth category that I look at for a pitcher. Justin Verlander is dominating Major League Baseball in a way we haven't seen a lot of guys dominate at his age. The problem is staying that dominant, being able to sustain that dominance for 5 more years. That's a lot to ask for a 39-year-old. Especially a 39-year-old who just came off of Tommy John's. Incredible that he's doing it right now. But if I had to put money, which I mostly lose money when I gamble and not make money, but if I had to put money on one of these two things to happen, I would say that it's more likely that this is the final season of his dominance.
That's the smart play, yeah. And especially if you're talking about it from a putting money perspective on it. But, I mean, I think it's going to continue.
I could see it good, like 2 or 3 more years.
If Nolan Ryan was doing this in his mid-40s, if Roger Clemens, perhaps enhanced a bit, was doing this in his mid-40s.
Enhanced Roger Clemens.
Well, why can't Verlander?
Yeah.
I mean, it's happened before. We've seen it with different generations of pitchers. And now, I would imagine, just with the amount of technology and sports science that it goes into it, and with Verlander's approach, and now with load management and with guys not pitching deep into games anymore, even though Verlander still goes deep into games, why wouldn't this happen? So I think it can happen. And you know, if he's looking at it and trying to find ways to make sure he can pitch that long, then I think he's going to find a way to do it. Now, it might not be here, and that would suck, especially considering how important he's been to this run that the Astros were on, even if you have some sour feelings about last year. I think this can continue.
Baseball is the one sport where you can last longer than you can in like the NBA and the NFL. We talked about this a little bit last week where it's like, it's there is wear and tear, but it's not as hard on your body as other sports are, right? And so you can last a little bit longer. It's just, man, to sustain it for another 5 years, that's a lot to ask. That's a lot to kind of put your hopes on, is that he can do this until he's 44. Could I see it happening? I just don't see it being as likely as this being the final season. In all actuality, realistically, I think he can keep it up for 2, maybe 3 more seasons. But after year 3 is where I think we see a pretty substantial drop-off.
There have been multiple times over the course of Tom Brady's career where people thought that it just wasn't the same. And my hand up, end of 2019, his last year in New England, I thought, okay, I kind of get why they might move on. Then he goes to Tampa Bay and he has 2 of his best seasons that he's had in his career. There was another point, too, that a lot of people, I thought they were crazy when this happened. Like they lose one game on primetime and everyone loses their minds. But when they lost to the Kansas City Chiefs before they would ultimately go on to win the Super Bowl, Tom Brady is replaced by Jimmy Garoppolo in that game. And then after the words, you hear Bill Belichick saying, we're on to Cincinnati, we're on to Cincinnati, we're on to Cincinnati. There was a time where other people were like, it just doesn't look like the Brady of old. Certain people are just wired in a way to continue to play at the same level that they always have. And I do think Verlander is on that kind of spectrum.
I agree with that.
Now he's on a team that wins as opposed to being in Detroit his whole career.
Yeah.
Which, no offense to Brendan Riley behind the glass, who's shaking his head. Like, if you're there, I mean, my God, wouldn't you want to retire early?
They were good when he was there.
Like, sort of.
Most of it. They went to two World Series.
Went to two World Series?
Was it when he was there?
Is that what we're saying? Is that the action verb we're using? Went to?
Yeah.
What do you mean?
Went to two World Series instead of one two World Series. Did they do that?
The Astros only have one. It's not that big of a difference.
But how many have they gone to? How many World Series have the Astros went to? Brendan's so
the
frustrated
Astros
by that.
The Astros have been a little bit more successful than the Tigers were, but it's not as significant as you're making it out to be.
It's they way, it way more
I didn't know that.
Yeah,
I mean, the first
did.
One was like 2006.
Okay. When was the second one?
12, 13.
Wow. How did I not know that? They got the
if
two.
They won, I'd probably knew the answer. Know
okay.
the exact
so
answer.
The reason I like to troll you on that is one of my best friends is a Tigers fan, and we used to have the same argument. But to
oh
your,
yeah, they got the Giants.
To your,
yeah.
to your point with Verlander and Tom Brady, that's I do think that Justin Verlander is wired the same way as Tom Brady. Here's where I differ. I don't think there's as much physical wear and tear on an NFL quarterback the way the game is played today as there is on a pitcher, especially when it comes to shoulder, elbow,
and
stuff
like that. If you
touch
Brady, he'll have you sued.
Yeah, he'll have you. You'll just disappear. Like he'll
I
just
love
have,
Tom, but God, he's become such a baby with that stuff.
He has, and I think that there's for me to think about. Yeah, Tom Brady can keep it going because he doesn't really get hit a whole bunch. The quarterback position's protected so much in the NFL today. There's less wear and tear on the way they're throwing the ball versus Justin Verlander trying to throw 100 miles an hour on his fastballs. Like it's just different. So the wear and tear on a pitcher in baseball is just much more than a quarterback in the NFL.
He is Josh Beard. I am Paul Gallant. It's the Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Coming up next, Jose Altuve and the Golden State Warriors have something in common. We'll find out what that is next, right here. The Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 with Paul Gallant and Josh Beard in for Jeremy Branham and Joel Blank.
Independent thinking, unrestricted opinions. You're tuned in to the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
I'm glad that a lot of you guys are getting to experience something that I've experienced for much of my sports fandom life. You are seeing others jealous of your favorite team's success. Haters, even. I grew up a New England Patriots fan. I am now a Patriots and Astros fan. If you ain't cheating, you ain't trying for me. That's what I like. Josh Beard's in for Joel Blank. I am in for Jeremy Branham. Take your pick as to who is who. But I thought that, Josh, it was very interesting to see this list that Brendan Riley gave us. It is the list of most hated MLB player based on negative tweets since opening day. And this is what the Golden State Warriors and Jose Altuve have in common. They are very disliked.
Mm-hmm.
Jose Altuve, the second most hated player in baseball, at least based off of this Twitter list.
That's crazy to me. I guess because he's the face of the Astros and the Astros are so hated, but it's just like, even before I was, you know, I grew up in Dallas, so I grew up a Rangers fan, moved to Houston, started to watch and love the Astros a little bit more. Then I started covering the Astros, and so I was a fan of both teams. And then whenever the Rangers refused to do home and home after Hurricane Harvey, I was like, okay, screw you guys. You're done. And I'm just an Astros fan now. The entire time I have known Jose Altuve as a Houston Astro, he's been nothing but a likable, lovable dude. And it's wild that he's the second most hated. But it's solely only because he is the face of a franchise that everybody hates for cheating.
Well, you know why I think it's wild that he's second? I thought for sure he'd be number one.
You
on
thought
this.
He'd be number one. I think it's crazy that Manny Machado is number one.
Yeah. Why the hell is Manny Machado number one?
People just don't like him?
He's number one by a significant margin.
Yeah.
Did he, like, punt a cat into a river? No, I'm not kidding. I want to know. Did something happen this year with Manny Machado that I'm unaware of? Did he get in a big fight with somebody?
I don't know.
Is this just a bunch of Doyer fans, if you will, online that are, you know, being the borderline criminal tough guys that they are? I'm surprised that Machado's number one. I thought Altuve would for sure
be
number one on this list. The top five, Manny Machado, Jose Altuve, Bryce Harper now in Philadelphia, Max Scherzer, and then former Astro Carlos Correa. All of these guys are ahead of Trevor Bauer, who has been suspended for multiple years, and then Aroldis Chapman. Both of those guys off the field, dubious at best. I like that Mike Trout is at eighth. I like to dump on Mike Trout for no reason, mainly because I'm just tired of him winning MVPs all the time on a team that finishes in fourth place.
He just,
This time it's Shohei Ohtani, so it's fine. Also an MVP on a team that finishes in fourth place.
So here's a weird thing for me, and I don't know why I feel this way exactly. Mike Trout feels like baseball J.J. Watt to me. Like, he's a little bit too nice, and he's a little insufferable because of it.
With J.J. Watt, there was this element of always cheesing in your face about being superhero.
I feel like Trout does the same thing.
You don't think so? I think Trout is just another guy out there, and baseball does a poor job of marketing how awesome he is. I don't think, though, he tries to go out of his way to be a superhero character. Baseball should try to do that with him. But they don't, because baseball is horrible at marketing stars. J.J. Watt with that Hard Knock season, it was relax. You don't need to be trying as hard as you are. And we'll see. I guess the in-season Hard Knocks, it's going to be the Arizona Cardinals. Yep. So you're going to have J.J. Watt.
Again.
And that means that
J.J. Watt
to have
in the middle of a season, we all know what that looks like. The people who have covered him, we know what that looks like. I told him
he was going to be on a walking boot or something.
No, one time he was playing ping pong with somebody in the locker room. They had a ping pong table in there. He was playing ping pong. And I was actually doing play-by-play because we were waiting to get audio from people in the locker room. And I was doing play-by-play and talking to like a couple of the different players. And I said that his backhand was trash and he stared me down for like 20 minutes. And then I got in trouble. I got in trouble from Amy. Amy's like, that's not what this time is for. I'm like, well, his backhand is trash. But he was like, even during those times, he's like just in there, like acting like he's the best at everything, which like he is pretty good, but it's just, and then he gets way too intense sometimes, but
he does.
That's what we're going to see in the in season.
He's more self-aware though.
Yeah. So I feel like Mike Trout is that way. I feel like Mike Trout's a little insufferable.
I honestly know nothing about Mike Trout. Oh. This is just baseball in a nutshell. Like they don't,
that's
do a
true.
Good
they
job.
Don't mark. You know what? I'm a little bit surprised on this list that Juan Soto's as low as he is. You know, Juan Soto's only 23 years old. I don't know if you guys know that or not. Juan Soto's only 23. So I'm a little surprised. He's not higher on this list because he's only 23.
Why would he be higher?
I didn't know that Juan Soto was only 23. So
okay, you're
I'm doing a bit. I'm doing a thing.
They say his age a lot
all the time. Juan Soto is only 21 years. It's incredible that Juan Soto is only 21 years old.
He is only.
I know.
He is only 17 years old. It's incredible. Jose Altuve. Benjamin Button.
I'm surprised that Bryce Harper isn't. I didn't think Jose Altuve would be number one. I thought Bryce Harper would be number one.
I don't know. Bryce Harper's kind of been forgotten. You go to Philadelphia.
Yeah, a little bit.
It's just not the same with the way that Philadelphia has been playing over the last couple of years, where they've been like sort of in it. But I mean, yeah, if he was in Washington still and Washington was still playing at the level that they were against the Astros in the World Series a couple of years ago, okay, maybe that's a different conversation there.
You know who plays in Washington? Juan Soto, and he's only 23 years old. I don't know if you know that or not.
It's surprising that Tim Anderson is as low on this list as he is. Because Tim Anderson is exactly the kind of person that you feel like would rub people the wrong way. And that's before what you saw over the last couple of weeks with he and Josh Donaldson. Donaldson's a couple of rankings ahead of him. As far as other Astros on this list, there aren't that many. I mean, unless you want to count Carlos Correa as a former Astro. You have Alex Bregman, who's right in the middle of the pack, slightly behind Shohei Ohtani and Freddie Freeman on the Dodgers.
Above Fernando Tatis. I thought more people would dislike Fernando Tatis, too, just because of the way he played, the bat flips, the way he plays the game. I love it, but a lot of like those OG baseball guys that are like, the spirit of the game. Like I feel like they would hate Fernando Tatis.
They probably don't have Twitter. They're not going to be able to.
They're yelling about it on Facebook.
You can't tweet from a rotary phone.
Yeah, that's true.
That's a little tricky to do.
They're on AOL Instant Messenger talking to their friends about how much they hate him.
Kyle Tucker and Justin Verlander are third to last and second to last on this list.
Tucker makes no sense. I guess, because he's a part of the Astros, but he wasn't anywhere close to being a part of the cheating scheme.
Yeah.
It makes no sense to me whatsoever.
Yeah, I don't get that one.
The people are like, it's like people calling Jeremy Pena a cheater now. I'm like saying that Jeremy Pena, you freaking cheater.
Well, yeah, you were drafted by a team that
he was
done
five.
Dubious things. It's your fault.
He was five when they did it. Like, come on.
Gerrit Cole, last on this list. I'm surprised Cole isn't higher.
He should be much higher.
I mean, he's pitching better, but I mean, Cole and Spider Tack, number one. Cole versus Astros fans, number two.
Yep.
I would have thought that he would be a lot higher up on this list. He is not high up on this list. Aaron Judge is fairly high, and I know that I have been a great part of negative tweets at Aaron Judge. Because Aaron Judge is just someone who has sucked in the playoffs. I'm sorry. Am I supposed to genuflect at him because he's 8 feet tall? Oh, he's Mr. Yankee. Woohoo! How about
he seems like a pretty likable guy.
He does.
Yeah.
But I don't think it's likable to watch him play in the post.
I will say this, though. I will say this. He tried to hand a ball to a fan, to a child fan the other day. I don't know if y'all saw this video. It's like a day or two ago. He tried to hand a ball to a young fan. And when he put the ball in the kid's glove, another dude reached out and grabbed the ball out of the kid's glove. And Aaron Judge saw it, looked at it, and just walked away.
He didn't kill the guy? Wow.
No, but I would have.
Should have murdered him.
No, what I would have done is I would have put the ball in the glove, and when I saw the guy reaching for it, I'd be like, no, leave it there, and told the kid to close the glove. I wouldn't have let a jerk grown man take a ball from a kid out of his glove.
Why?
I think, you know what? I hate Aaron Judge now because of that. He should have been better. He should have done more for that kid to make sure that kid got that ball.
That's a way to walk yourself into hating somebody.
Yeah, hate him.
Why is it that adults, actual adults, try to get a foul ball or a home run ball the way that they do?
I don't know.
It would be something if it's okay. If it's like a 500th home run ball or a record-breaking home run, and you might be able to win your, like, by selling it, get a ridiculous amount of money. That's one thing.
Like the Tom Brady final touchdown that actually ended up not being that. But.
Well,
but some similar.
Even that one, like, I can't believe that went for as much money. But if it were some sort of record breaker, I mean, if there was a kid there, I'm sorry. Little Timmy, I'm taking it from you.
Yeah, 100%.
I don't care if it gets me
canceled. Are you taking it out of his glove, though? Are you like, one, there's one thing to catch it over him, but are you going to actively reach into his glove and take it out?
If it's something that could get me $3 million.
No, get out of here.
Yes.
That's awful.
So?
That's awful. That kid deserves that ball. That kid deserves that ball.
Screw Paul hates.
You heard it here. No. ESPN 975, Paul hates kids.
Well, if that kid is between me and $3 million, I hate everybody.
I don't get the obsession with it though. Like I really don't. It's like as a kid, I always wanted to get that, and I just took my kids to an Aggie baseball game not that long ago, and one of the outfielders threw a ball up to our kids, up to my son. It was awesome. He caught it in his glove. It's cool. I'm not over there trying to like be like, throw me a ball, man. Like if I catch a pop fly, if I catch a home run ball, that's cool. But I'm not actively going and see. And I feel like it's a lot of, okay, this is going to be weird. Let's get into Paul and Josh psychology real fast. Psychiatrist, Paul and Josh. Actually, we're not. But I feel like it's like some disappointing childhood thing. Like you never caught one as a kid and you're trying to make up for it. I don't know. I don't get it. Especially when if you're an adult and you're there and you're the only one who has a chance to catch it, fine, whatever. But or if it's other adults, I'm absolutely going to use my size and box some guys out for a baseball. But like adults that are trying to catch it over kids and there's like a group of kids or adults that won't give a ball to a kid. There's like the lady who took a ball from a kid a couple of years ago and didn't give it to, like, come on, give the baseball to the kid. I get in instances like you brought up, if it can get you money, whatever. But like if it's just a normal home run ball and you're a 42-year-old woman and you steal a ball from a kid and try to walk away and not give it to him, you're a miserable human being. Like, don't do that.
Yeah.
Let the kid get the ball.
I am in total agreement with you. I feel like if you get a ball and there's a kid near you, in fact, you should give it. Like,
yeah, that's why Aaron Judge is a bad guy. That's why I hate him and he should be higher on the list because he should have made sure that kid got the ball.
I'm not gonna go that far. Well, text in. What's more insufferable than a bleeping Patriots fan? I agree. There's not much worse. The Patriot fan punches children. If it means $3 million, yes. Sorry, not my kid.
I'll ask the kid to split the money with me.
How much money would it cost to get a lawyer to get those charges dismissed? And then after that, I mean, the rest is all mine, baby. Another text. What's the cutoff age? Honestly, I feel like if you're an adult, I think if you're like
17, 18.
I think if you're 18 years old, yeah. It's kind of weird to get unless, again, it's like a very important ball or something like that. Or it comes directly to you and you catch it.
Yeah.
And you didn't put any effort into it. Like, you're cool about it. Fine. But, yeah, I don't know. It's a weird. Today, it's weird. I think back in, like, the 90s and before, not as bad. Anyway, we got a caller. We're going to get him in next. 713-780-3776. 713-780-3776. ESPN. Should you allow a child, if it was a $3 million home run ball, to keep the ball? The new topic that is just taking over Houston sports radio. Also, okay, the Golden State Warriors, they are, I know, in the eyes of a lot of people in this city, extremely, extremely dislikable. Specifically one, Steph Curry. Who are the athletes in sports that you dislike the most? Let's get hateful, seeing as we were just talking about disliked figures in baseball. Next, right here, ESPN 97.5, 92.5.
Razor-sharp commentaries delivered with a purpose. You found the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
I hate this song.
This is a good song, man.
No.
Why do you hate this song? You hate the weirdest song.
In the background.
The beat is great.
Is good. The lyrics are awful.
Oh, you're terrible.
And they played this, I swear, during NFL broadcasts leading up to the weekend performing at the Super Bowl halftime show not too long ago.
Loved every single second of it. Every single time they played it.
They played this like 12 times in NFL
Sunday.
It's
a good song. That's not what he sounds like. That's as bad as your Billy Corgan impersonation earlier today.
The weekend is the weekend. I'm the weekend and your touch. Awful.
And your touch at the end made it. That song's way better than you made it out.
The Bob's Burgers movie is an animated big screen musical comedy mystery adventure. That's a lot. Based on the long-running Emmy-winning series. The story begins when a ruptured water main creates an enormous sinkhole right in front of Bob's Burgers, blocking the entrance indefinitely and keeping and ruining the Belchers' plan for a successful summer. While Bob and Linda struggle to keep the business afloat, the kids try to solve a mystery that could save their family's restaurant. Caller number 5 to 713-780-3776. You win a pair of tickets to see the movie, plus, a $100 Visa gift card courtesy of Bob's Burgers. Catch it in theaters today! 713-780-3776. Kyle wants to vouch for Josh Beard. Kyle?
Hi, first of all, I'm glad to see that Josh is recognizing sports today. That's a very good thing. I was very worried about him after the Mavericks last night. Also, thank you, Josh, for reminding me that Juan Soto's 23. I had no idea.
See? A lot of people don't realize what age Juan Soto is. He's 23 years old, just in case you didn't know that.
Until this show today, I had no idea.
He's just 23 years old. You should have known, because 2 years ago, they told us how old he was. He was 21
glad
2 years ago.
For sharing that information with us, honestly,
I guess so.
In retrospect.
Maybe.
I appreciate it, but this whole, like, if a ball gets, the $3 million ball lands into my lap, am I going to give it to a kid? No, I'm probably going to give it back to the actual player who hit the thing, because it's probably going to mean more to them, and then I'm going to be in his good graces. Like, imagine me being best friends with Mike Trout. You know how sweet that would be?
I don't know. What are you going to do? Like, stare at paint while it dries? I mean, he just seems like a very, very non-fun person.
At Eagles games in October, seeing as, they're never making the playoffs.
That is true. He is Philly scum. People forget that Mike Trout from Philadelphia, maybe the worst. So, Kyle, okay, we heard, like, you're not going to give the ball away, and that's Kyle calling it. I'm curious as to how Kyle would have felt about potentially, the kid catches the ball. Would you take the ball away from him? Would you fight for your family? If you've watched
that's
Breaking
not
Bad,
how that you're not fighting for a family. You're fighting again.
I'm fighting,
fighting
a family
child.
For my family.
No, you don't. No, you're
for
not
for my family.
You're fighting a kid for a ball.
No, you can't say that. It's 2022. If I say I'm doing something for my family, then
no,
it's fine.
Excuse you, 2022. Families are an antiquated construct that nobody applies to anymore. Thank you very much. It's the other direction.
Well,
thank
if you if you've paid attention across sports, you can bring up my family and use my family and my mental health
as a
shield these days.
Yeah,
and
that's
you
great.
See it a lot in the NBA. Like Russell Westbrook, my family shouldn't be hearing Westbrook.
Oh, my God.
That's cool.
That's one of the most insufferable things I've heard an athlete talk about. And I love that people just, like, what did he think was going to happen after Russell Westbrook? What do you think was going to happen after you said, oh, no, you can't call me Westbrook because it's making
they
fun of
stop.
My name? No. No, not in today's society. It's like whenever your buddies, whenever you, like, you give your buddy a crappy name, and he's like, no, don't call me that. You're just gonna call him that even more. Oh, Westbrook, you gotta be quiet.
I'm Westbrook.
Maybe start making shots when you shoot the basketball to the hoop. That would help.
Don't shoot threes anymore because you're not good at them.
Yeah.
I think that's where you start, and then you work a little bit closer to the rim, and maybe it'll be a little bit better. It's a shame. Westbrook, excuse me.
Freudian slip. Oops.
I mean, here's the problem for it. It's so easy
it
to
is
do.
So easy.
You could accidentally do it now.
I think Westbrook is easier to say than Westbrook. I think it's more verbal, vocal effort to say Westbrook than it is Westbrook. Westbrook. It's way easier.
Yeah, it just rolls off the tongue.
Yeah, it does.
Westbrook does. But I said it again.
Yeah.
And look, if you've watched Breaking Bad 2, you would know that you can justify anything by saying, for my family.
You can't do that. That's a TV show, Paul. I need you to know right
but
now.
He's doing it for his family.
I know, but you can't.
Tony Soprano was doing it for his family.
But that's a TV show. You can't just say that and be off the hook.
Harrison Ford in Air Force One was doing it to get his family back.
Give me back my family!
Give me back my family!
Anyway, it is the Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5, 92.5. Josh Beard, Paul Gallant sitting in for Joel Blank, and Jeremy Branham. Okay, so we just went through in baseball the athletes in sports that you hate the most, but 713-780-3776, 713-780-ESPN. What athletes in sports outside of baseball do you dislike the most? I would imagine Tom Brady would be high on the list.
I actually really like him now. I hated him so much.
When he was the Patriot.
Well, it's not even about the Patriots or Bucks. He's just become much more likable because he's been more present on social media.
Why has he been more present on social media? Because he's away
from the Patriots. Yeah, that's fair.
It's one of those things where you get out from that team that you've been playing with for such a long time, and all of a sudden it's like a refreshing new, hey, I'm rooting for you. I want him to prove that team wrong for moving on from him. And guess what? He has. Steph Curry, for a lot of people, would probably be up on this list. I know in Houston he is hated. I love watching Steph Curry play. I know, Josh, earlier today you said that you feel like he's one of the 10 best players of all time.
I'd move Wilt Chamberlain out of the top 10 best players of all time and put Steph Curry in there right now, and I don't care what anybody thinks about that.
Did you ever dislike him?
I actually dislike him more now than I did before. Like, here's the thing. My Steph Curry viewing experience, my wife can't stand him. The one reason she can't stand him is because of the way he chews on his mouth guard. Can't stand him.
You know what? There's a lot of people that feel that way about the mouth
guard. That's weird. It's weird to not like a guy because he chews on a mouth guard.
And they can't all be people working in the dental field or right. orthodontia.
Right, yeah. I get why a lot of people hate him. Like, he's got the shimmy thing, that little smile that he gives after he makes some of his shots. I've never really disliked him before this series against the Mavericks, and especially in game 2 when they were down by like 20 points and he just keeps hitting shot after shot after shot. It made me dislike him a little bit more, but I've always had a soft spot in my heart for Steph Curry. I think he is one of the most transcendent players that we've seen in this generation of basketball, and he has completely almost single-handedly changed the way teams are trying to construct and the way the game is played in general. Kids today are growing up trying to be Steph Curry the way they were trying to be Michael Jordan, the way they were trying to be Kobe Bryant. Steph Curry is that guy. I've always had a soft spot in my heart for him. I've never really disliked him. Now, though, when he starts shimmying and smiling on my team, it's a little bit more annoying.
See,
but he's not up there for most hated players for me. I enjoy watching him.
This is what I'm wondering about, because I've never had a reason to root against Steph Curry.
Right.
But if the Celtics make it to the NBA Finals against Golden State, this will be the first time.
Yeah.
So I'm very curious as to how I'm going to feel. These playoffs have been weird because I like all of the teams that Boston has played. I love Giannis. I like Milwaukee a lot. I like Miami. PJ Tucker, loved him when he was here. Jimmy Butler plays the game the way I like to see it played, really gives a damn about
Jimmy Butler. I think he's an incredible basketball player. I think he is just a horrible person.
Really?
Yeah, he causes problems at every single team he goes to.
I understand why, though, in Minnesota with Karl Anthony Towns as the best player, and in Philadelphia too, where you had Ben Simmons. I feel like
he could have made it work, though.
He's been insufferable in a couple of places. I don't know about in Philadelphia.
Maybe not in Philly, but I think if there's anything we've seen now, it could have worked at some point in Minnesota.
Okay. Listen, maybe, but I feel like Karl Anthony Towns is just not tough enough. And I hate to say that.
That's fair.
I feel like a guy of that size should be much more present in games and much more physical than he actually is. It's interesting that this guy used to be as liked as he did. Someone texted in O.J. Simpson. Well, yeah, duh, that guy's got to be. If anyone likes O.J. Simpson, that is a character flag, unless you're doing it in some sort of ironic play. Like, that guy used to be, though, like one of the most beloved men in America. Go watch The Naked Gun.
Yeah.
I mean, he's Norbert, and in that movie, it's so weird. Like, this is this guy that was working for, I think, NBC at the time as a broadcaster. Everyone loved O.J. Everyone loved Juice. Like, they all loved him.
Have there ever been any other athletes who have just kind of fallen, who have been so very liked and then fallen off the map like
that?
Yeah,
who murdered someone and got away with it.
Not even necessarily murdered.
Then, yeah, I would assume that anyone who did that, like, there's no one else like him.
Even Ray Lewis got out of that. Like, he had allegations against him, and people forgot. People love Ray Lewis.
He got charged with obstruction of justice. Right. I think he got, I think they've never stuck, though, but he got a $250,000 fine from the NFL. I mean, it's probably going to be like this with Deshaun Watson, all things considered.
Which is disappointing.
Well, I mean, that's just, we forget stuff. I wish we all had these, like, strong elephant memories, if you will, or whatever, but, like, no, we're going to, especially if the guy wins, we're going to move on. People in Pittsburgh moved on, too, pretty quickly.
Yeah.
With Ben Roethlisberger doing whatever the hell he did. Got a couple. I have my list, and I'm glad that some people are just texting them in. First off, James Harden's at the top of mine.
Yeah,
I hated everyone that rooted for him.
Didn't even like him when he was here.
No, I didn't. I never did. I was the only person, and I was right. But whatever. No one remembers that.
Not counting, but I was right.
I mean, it was though. This was like 2014 on. I was out. Out on him.
Yeah,
that early.
The only time they even came close to winning with him was when Chris Paul was also there.
Yep.
And then they failed as soon as Chris Paul went down.
LeBron James is another one. Russell Wilson, a third one. Those two, not because of who they are as people, I just think that they're extremely fake.
Yeah.
And I don't like fake. I just be honest. You must be true to your heart.
Oh, man.
From a Disney movie.
Paul Showtunes.
Was that from Mulan?
I think so, yeah.
Anyway, keep these coming in. 713-780-3776. We're getting some good ones. Someone texted in.
Manu Ginobili is one of mine. I hated him. Hated him for the longest time.
But then
so
he swatted James Harden and he became a hero.
Yeah, that's true. But I couldn't stand Manu Ginobili. I actually don't have I don't have a lot of sports hate in my heart. There aren't a lot of. I don't think there are very many athletes that I just straight up hate or can't stand.
That's fair. One last text before we move on to the next segment. Who cries more at the end of their career, Luka or Harden?
Harden. No, Luka's going to win multiple championships.
Harden doesn't care. Harden doesn't care.
Oh, that's true.
Luka, I feel like, cares. Harden doesn't care. Like, that's what drives you the most crazy about him. He is Harden, as far as his ability to handle, his passing, his ability to drive through the lane when he was at the top of his game. Like, he did a lot of things at an incredible level. I mean, shoot, he's changed basketball to an extent with some of the way that, like, with the Euro step that he mastered, which is traveling, but whatever. This is a guy that has so many things at his disposal, but he did not put in the work, and he doesn't care. He's got tons of money. You know, he just doesn't care about it that much. He is Josh Beard. I am Paul Gallant. It's the Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5, 92.5. Again, who do you hate the most, athlete-wise, in sports? Also, up next, listen, the two-time defending champion of Who Said It is sitting next to me. I'm going to try to steal the belt from the Killer Bees next. Last time I did this was disastrously hilarious. So there's that. Anyway, Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5, 92.5.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep their trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.